Dear all, please welcome to this press conference following the ECOFIN meeting. We will first have a statement from Minister Borg, followed by Commissioner Almunia, and then a conclusion will be made by Commissioner Kovacs. Minister, please.
Thank you very much. We have had a long council today with very important discussions. I would like to underline that we've made good headways when it comes to the financial infrastructure. The ECOFIN Council has discussed the proposals to establish a European systemic risk board, and we have found a broad political agreement on the different on the substance of the risk board, both on the regulation to establish the systemic risk board and also in the Council decision to entrust the ECB with the specific tasks of dealing with the systemic risk board. And I'm saying this without prejudicing to the ongoing national parliamentary procedures, but it's clear that we have a political agreement that is necessary to set up a new infrastructure to increase financial stability. A risk board that will deal with assessing the situation, making recommendations, and also, obviously, following up on those recommendations. As a consequence of this, the Council is inviting the Presidency to start negotiations with the European Parliament on the regulation. And on this approach, we will also try to find an agreement that is possible passed in the first reading. The Council also invites the Presidency to take the necessary steps to initiate the process with the European Parliament on the Council decision on the ECB role, while taking note of the need for further political negotiations before we can reach a final agreement on the whole package in December 2009, while setting up the new financial infrastructure for Europe. So, on the issue of systemic risk board, we made a substantial progress, and we now have what I would say as a thorough political ground for the further work that is needed to be done. And it's also quite clear that we can, as the Presidency has ambition to, start the negotiations and the deliberations with the Parliament on these two regulations and decisions, which is a major step forward at this early stage, especially if we go back a few months and remember that the Della Rosia report only came out during the spring, and it's a very important step that we have been taking today, even if there obviously are need to further negotiations before we can complete the package. We also have had a thorough discussion on the exit strategies. The economic assessment of the Council is that we still have a fragile recovery that is based on the need for policy support. And therefore, it's also clear that we need to keep an expansionary economic policy going for the time being. But this is, as we've said and made conclusions of, the time to start to design and communicate exit strategies. And the four principles that we set out in Gothenburg, that we should have a timely withdrawal of the temporary expansionary measures, that we need a structural consolidation in above the level of 0.5 of GDP, and that we also need structural reforms to reinforce and to boost labor supply, labor force participation, and long-term investment is extremely important, and that we also need further work on the national budget frameworks. We've now put all these four Gothenburg principles into a Council conclusion, and that is the basis that we will continue the work. And obviously, at the November ECOFIN meeting, we will also have the forecast of the Commission, which will be another very important building block in setting up a thorough and credible exit strategy. I must say that the Council made good progress on the exit strategy, and I think we have a very good prospect of reaching a good agreement at the end of the Swedish Presidency on this issue. We've also had a good discussion on the G20. We have the upcoming St. Andrews meeting, and we've worked out a European position on these issues that is very, very important. There will be important discussions on the new framework for a more stable economic development in the global scene. Obviously, there will also be an important discussion on climate change and also on the exit strategies. Let me, in respect there, make it very, very clear that the work that has been done on bonuses from the G20 has been built on the idea that basically if there are bonuses paid out, you need to have a clear framework for that. And obviously the G20 decision has not in any way implied that banks should have bonuses. It's quite clear that the banks could also work with only ordinary wage payments. So that's no misunderstanding on this issue. And also we've had a thorough discussion on climate. We've made some progress when it comes to understanding the arguments and the position of the different member states participating in this discussion. We have not been able to reach a conclusion. We will now obviously will see continued discussions among the environmental ministers tomorrow and at their council meeting. And at the end of the day, the issue will have to be dealt with at the European Council at the end of October. Joaquin, please take the floor.
Yes, just to add two comments. The first one about the first point that you mentioned, the discussion on the European Systemic Risk Board regulation and the decision regarding the role of the ECB to provide the Secretariat. Since our previous discussion in Gothenburg 3 weeks ago till now, very important agreements has been reached thanks to the work of the Swedish presidency and during the discussions at the council level, both in the working groups and at the COREPER. We are very happy that the today's agreements are based on our proposals and that this important body, the European Systemic Risk Board, I hope can be operational in 2010 during the next year after the co-decision process between Council and Parliament will adopt the final legal decisions. We need to have this body operational as soon as possible. We know which were the origins of the present crisis. We know now that if this kind of body should have existed in the past, probably their warnings and their recommendations regarding the financial stability risks would have avoided part, at least, of the negative, very negative consequences of this crisis. We probably will be able to avoid all the risks that are at the origin of the present crisis thanks to changes in the regulation, improvements in the micro-supervision, better coordination of supervisors, better crisis management systems. But we also know that in the future, new risks to financial stability will exist or can exist. We need to detect these risks as soon as possible. It's urgent to have this body in place. And I want to add one point that was discussed briefly, but I think is very important. We have discussed at the ECOFIN today how the programs based on the balance of payments facility and in cooperation with the IMF and other international donors, including Sweden in the case of Latvia, are working. And we have received also the impressions from the Hungarians, from the Latvians, and from the Romanians. We need to continue this work. It's very important that these countries that had suffered the worst of the consequences of the financial crisis, putting in at risk its own financial stability as a country, will succeed in implementing these programs. We continue to give them the support, but we are also monitoring the fulfillment of the conditions that were agreed in the memorandum of understanding that we signed with the three governments. I think it's a very, very positive exercise that from time to time the ECOFIN listens to the countries, analyzes how these programs are being implemented, and receives from us, from the Commission point of view, our assessment of the way the governments and the authorities are reacting thanks to the financial support that is being sent with the European budget resources.
Thank you, Joaquin, and I will then leave the word to Laszlo to comment on the discussions on tax issues. Please take the floor.
Thank you very much, Anders. Combating tax fraud, evasion and avoidance, as you know, has been and is high on the political agenda of EU and its institutions, including the ECOFIN and the Commission. Today, the ECOFIN discussed the draft anti-fraud agreement between European Union and Liechtenstein, which was negotiated by the Commission in collaboration with the Member States on the basis of an ECOFIN mandate. The EU-Liechtenstein agreement is important at least for three reasons. First, it would give a clear signal that the European Union is not only making commitments, but is delivering its commitment to fight fraud. And the Liechtenstein agreement is much broader in scope than tax fraud. It's fraud in general. Second, the agreement would create a level playing field for all the member states, even for those who do not have the administrative capacity to negotiate a bilateral agreement with Liechtenstein. I want to tell you that out of the 27 member states, only 5 has got bilateral agreement with Liechtenstein. So there is a value added of the multilateral agreement because of 22 member states do not have this kind of bilateral agreement. And the third reason that it would enable all member states to collect tax due from their resident taxpayers after their investments in Liechtenstein. During the debate, the content of the agreement was not challenged, which shows that the Commission precisely followed the mandate. Many ministers expressed strong support for the agreement. There were 2 reservations of political nature made by Luxembourg and Austria. These 2 countries and the 2 ministers claimed that this agreement should be approved together with some other initiatives in the Commission's communication and the ECOFIN conclusions. Other initiatives like the Saving Taxation Directive, like the Directive on Administrative Cooperation or the Directive on Mutual Assistance. While the Commission maintains its opinion that there is no link and no timeline between the various initiatives, they are independent and they are not depending on each other. It was clear, however, that the real concerns of these 2 countries, of Luxembourg and Austria, was the impact of the EU-Liechtenstein agreement on the Saving Taxation Directive, concretely on the end of the transitional application of the withholding tax instead of automatic exchange of use, because there are 2 major conditions which would decide the end of this transitional period. One is the agreement between EU and the 5 non-EU member European countries, including Liechtenstein, Switzerland, Monaco, San Marino and Andorra. The other one, that the United States also should comply and it should be judged unanimously by the Council, by the ECOFIN. So it's a condition, and I think that it's a pity that member states, 2 member states, who agreed on the conditions under which the applications of withholding tax should be switched to full and automatic exchange of information, now are practically blocking the establishment of these conditions. The Commission holds the view that the EU-Liechtenstein agreement cannot be made a hostage of any other issues. And blocking the EU-Liechtenstein agreement and the start of negotiations with the other 4 countries, it results in the blocking of the worldwide application of OECD standards supported by the group of G20. As there was no opposition to the text, the Commission will formally present the agreement to the ECOFIN for approval at one of the next ECOFIN meetings. And I hope that at one of the next ECOFIN meetings, at least the mandate to start talks with the other 4 countries will be also approved, because that is certainly the first step. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Laszlo. We are now open for questions on these different issues.
Okay, let's start DPA, and then we go over here.
Yes, Nick Rigillo from DPA. Minister Borg, how disappointed are you about today's failure to reach an agreement on the climate funding, and what kind of message does it send to the rest of the world? The EU is claiming to be to take the leadership in the fight against climate change, and yet cannot agree among its members on who should pay.
to be one thing should be clear, that it is a disappointing outcome that we have not been able to reach an agreement on climate financing today. It means that we have had a thorough discussion where the positions has been laid out, but there's also obviously been a lack of commitment towards the idea of reaching an agreement before we have the European Council. This means that many of these difficult issues will have to be moved forward to the European Council. With the presidency, as a presidency, I will set out the issues and obviously report on this to the president of the European Council. And obviously, there are several very difficult issues that will have to be dealt with. Given that Europe is taking leadership in the climate issue and are the leader on climate change, it's very, very important that we now make further progress in the coming days and weeks on this issue. Would Joaquin like to add anything on?
No, it's not a good outcome of the Council. The lack of conclusions is disappointing. But this does not mean that Europe will not continue to be in the driving seat and in the leader's position to find an agreement in Copenhagen. The agreement in Copenhagen will be very difficult, not because our difficulties in discussing financial issues at the ECOFIN today, but because of the lack of commitment shown by very important players that will be on the table in Copenhagen. We need to continue our work. I hope that tomorrow the Environmental Council and next week the European Council will adopt clear positions showing that Europe is looking for an ambitious agreement in Copenhagen, and I am convinced, I am sure, that the internal financial discussions on how to distribute the burden among member states will find an agreement, because the elements for this agreement are on the table. The details of this agreement are not yet there, but I am convinced that we will find this agreement before the Copenhagen summit.
Mr. Borg, Mark Papercorn, Netherlands. How likely is it that the European Council will resolve the financial issues regarding climate change if the finance ministers today couldn't reach any agreement at all?
Well, I think it should be underlined that all of the components of an agreement were on the table and were thoroughly discussed. I think it is quite clear that we pushed very hard for an agreement today. We did some progress on the different issues, but there is a need for further movements from different parties on the Council and in the Union to be able to reach an agreement. Obviously, the political pressure on this issue will not go away, rather will increase ahead of the European Council. And hopefully that would also mean that the flexibility and the pragmatism in some of the capitals would increase.
Swiss Radio Television, Thomas Miglierina. Well, Commissioner Kovács has been crystal clear in saying that the Commission intends to press ahead on the agreement with Liechtenstein. I know this is also an ambition of the presidency to move forward things on this. And the Commissioner also made clear his analysis that the real problem is the saving taxation. So do you think that there is room for discussion and agreements on this saving taxation issue? And I know that today you weren't expected to have a decision, that this will be for December, but what makes you believe that the issue of the mandate for negotiations with Switzerland will not go the same way? Thank you.
Well, we had an open discussion today where it also was clear that there is a strong support for making progress on this issue, and obviously we will have to come back to it in council meetings later on, and given the strong commitment for progress, there is a good prospect for eventually reaching conclusions. Lastly, would you like to add anything on this?
You know, hopes died the last. as the saying goes. So I'm sure that we will finally come to an agreement, because the reason why I do believe that these two countries, Austria and Luxembourg, also agreed with the conditions of the end of the withholding tax regime vis-à-vis the full exchange of automatic exchange of information. So I understand that the timing is quite delicate for them, but one day they should say yes. They cannot maintain their position to say no all the time.
Thank you. Renata Goldirva, Slovak Radio. My question goes to Commissioner Almunia. The Slovak finance minister yesterday after the Eurogroup meeting said that he was under the impression that Slovakia would be given time till 2013 to curb its deficit under 3% of GDP. So I was wondering whether you could say whether this impression is justified in any way. And if not, then I would have a question on the merits. In your report linked to the EDP, you mentioned binding expenditure ceilings for Slovakia and also some structural reforms that should be adopted in order to sustain public finances. If you could elaborate on those, whether they are needed and why. Thank you. And what exactly? Thanks.
Well, we didn't discuss yesterday national situations of those member states that will receive new recommendations under the EDP during our meeting at the college level on the 11th of November, and we will discuss it at the council level in December. And I cannot anticipate, because I didn't have a bilateral meeting with the minister, so I don't know where these impressions or how these impressions came up to the mind and to the statements by the finance minister. I very much look forward to have this meeting with the Slovakian finance minister to discuss, if he wish, before we produce our recommendations, and once we will have adopted our recommendations next 11th of November. But I have not a draft recommendation on my desk, so I cannot have an answer to your questions or to the minister's impressions.
Okay, that concludes this press conference. Thank you very much for coming. See you back here soon again.
Thank you. Thank you for the cooperation, as always.
Thank you for the language. Thank you for the